Jill Anderson is a North Shore naturalist. She lives here in Cook County and joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome back, Jill.
Hi.
Otters, they're back in the county.
And, did they leave?
Well, you seem to think they were going someplace. How do they adapt to what is still cold water, even though it's warm outside?
Yeah, great question. We talked earlier in the winter about these amazing mammals who are kind of semi-aquatic and go in and out of these icy cold waters and tour around in these really frigid environments, even though they're getting wet regularly. But we didn't talk about otters on that occasion. And they are the other, of course, really obvious example. And otters are on the move from, if they did move around in the to a different kind of area for living during the winter. So for instance, around our place, we see the otters leave the Flute Reed, at least the part of the Flute Reed that we live on, usually early December, maybe late November in a much colder winter. And then they typically, we see them come back late February and into March, again, somewhat depending on the weather. This year, they actually showed up, kind of looked like doing an exploratory mission much earlier than we'd ever seen them before. So early February, but they didn't stay around no evidence of them stayed around. So we assume that they disappeared back downstream somewhere. We sometimes think we've thought they maybe spend most of the winter over on the Brule, which is within traveling distance for them. But anyway, they have now returned and are, you know, regularly evident. So, you know, I can't help but marvel at, you know, how much time they're spending in this ice-cold water. I don't know if any of our listeners have been putting hands or feet into the water, but I did. And I'm talking instant ice cream headache of the foot or the hand or, you know, if you can have a headache in your feet or your head, this is a good time to experience that. Boy, with all the, you know, you look out and you see ice cubes and ice floes floating in that water. So it's very, very, very cold, just really above freezing. So how do they do it? And they're not beavers. And muskrats, they don't have permanent dwellings, and they don't have the heavy body fat that beavers and muskrats do. So they've adapted in some different ways to the same conditions. They have traded off the energy reserves that come from those heavy fat layers that the beavers and the muskrats put on, the energy reserves and the insulation of that fat, they've traded that off for having greater agility. And that, of course, they need in order to catch their food, because they're not eating bark off trees or plants that are stationary. They are going after fish and other critters that can move. So they've traded off the fat for the agility. And so what do they have that helps them compensate for that lack of fat? Well, one thing they have is that they have an even denser coat than these other mammals do. And in fact, their fur coat is about 4 times denser than a muskrat's. And in addition to the same sort of layers that those other mammals have, so the guard hairs, that outer fur, and then the under fur, their under fur is crimped, so it holds even more air than the dense under fur of the beaver and the muskrat. So it's crimped in there. And then their guard hairs actually have little scales on them that interlock when they go in the water and the hairs lie down next to each other. Those scales interlock and they help resist the movement of water into that under fur even more efficiently and effectively than what the beavers and the muskrats' guard hairs do. So some great adaptations. Their tail, which anyone who's seen an otter knows is not a big flat tail. It's more around a long, slender tail like a muskrat. And that's where they have a lot of fat, because they don't have that conduction mechanism that the beavers have, for instance, where the blood flow is really close between the arterial flow and the venal flow. So they need that extra fat there to protect their tail underneath the fur. So that's the one place that they do carry a heavier load of fat. Otters are out and about. They have a much bigger foraging territory in the wintertime than do beavers or muskrats. And so they are taking advantage of any kind of shelter that they can find. And that often includes old beaver lodges or bank dens that beavers have created or any other critters have created. They don't have any kind of permanent lodging, so they, in many ways, they're much more exposed than these other animals to the challenges of living through the winter and being out in the cold air and cold water. And their range actually reflects this dependence and this dependent relationship that they have on beavers. One might think that, well, otters, you know, they eat fish, they eat invertebrates. Their range should really be anywhere that you have lakes and streams and fish. Well, as it turns out, that's not the case. The northern range of the otter really closely mimics or follows the range of the beaver because they're very reliant in the far north in particular on old beaver lodges and the conditions that beavers create that provide some opportunity to get under the ice in the winter that they can't really do without. So they're, despite all their great adaptations, this relationship between the beaver's life and the otter's life are very closely tied together.
So it's kind of like moving into foreclosed housing.
Oh, gosh. Well, apparently it can be kind of nasty sometimes. Apparently there are times when otters really try to force beavers to leave, desert a lodge or whatever, you know, so there's can be real direct competition if there aren't, you know, a lot of available empty lodges to utilize.
Well, I can see that because beavers mm-hmm. are kind of, you know, hi there, what's going on? And otters are just incredible. I can see where they could be a real pest.
Kind of pushy.
Yeah, pushy is exactly right.
Playful, but pushy.
Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. Thanks, Jill, for helping us understand cold water and otters.
You're welcome.